verse 13. Then Jesus appeared. He came from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to stop him. So this is John the Baptist. He came to John the Baptist. John tried to stop him and said, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Jesus answered him, this is the way it has to be now. This is the proper way to do everything that God requires of us. This is in God's words translation. It's a little bit different than the King James or New King James, but I like this translation because it says, this is the proper way to do everything that God requires of us. In other words, there are some things in Christianity that God requires of us, and he wants us to be involved in. There's certain patterns that he wants us to respect and walk in. In verse 16, after Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up from the water. Suddenly, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down as a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I love, my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus went down to John, and he went to him, and John, of course, felt that Jesus was higher than him, so he thought Jesus should be baptizing him. But Jesus explained to him that we had to do this to fulfill all righteousness, that this is the way things were done. So the next thing we know that happens, Jesus goes into the waters of baptism. He comes out of the waters of baptism. There's a voice from heaven that takes place. There's a spirit comes down on him like a dove. In other words, it is a very spiritual time. It is a lot of spiritual activity taking place at that particular time. It wasn't just your common everyday stuff. It wasn't everyday stuff as usual. There was something that happened. There was a spiritual dynamic that took place at this particular time. Now, I want us, those of you who are going through waters of baptism today, I want you to settle in your spirit that this is a very spiritual time for you. This is a time for you to have an experience with God that maybe you never had before. So I want you to prepare yourself, even as we share a bit this morning, that you expect something to take place as you come out of the waters of baptism this morning. Their angels are watching this morning. I believe with all my heart that from the time that you were born, angelic forces were dispatched to you, and that they came alongside you to help you get where you are today, and they're watching you. They're taking notice of what's happening today. They're expecting a spiritual experience to happen to you. And I want you to have a sense. Maybe you'll not hear an audible voice. You won't hear a voice from heaven and the top of the building won't open. But I want you to sense in your spirit that God is saying to you, you are my child in whom I am well pleased today. I'm well pleased for you to be going through these waters of baptism this morning. So let's continue now. I had to read that part in order to set the stage for what we're going to read next, because I want us to know that the heavens were open and that there was a word came from heaven to Jesus at that particular time. John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, that is John the Baptist, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. Now you see, the people of that day, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for the one who was going to save them. They were looking actually for the one who's going to save Israel out of the bondages that they were in. And so when Jesus came on the scene, to some, he wasn't a big surprise, or I shouldn't say that, he wasn't a surprise, but when you're looking for something, you generally have an expectation of finding it. And these people were looking for something. John the Baptist had came before him and declared that the kingdom of God was coming, that the one that they were waiting for was coming. And so Jesus came on the scene, and when Jesus started walking along, John the Baptist said, "That's the guy." Let's continue to read here in verse 31. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me, John said, he who sent me told him something. He who sent me, well, in John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is John the Baptist. He was sent by God. So John here, when he says, the one who sent me told me that the one whom you see, the Spirit of God descending, he's the Messiah. And so the one that sent John was the Father. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'Teacher, where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed him. And followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ." One of the translations of Christ is Messiah, the coming one, the one who would set Israel free. "We have found the Messiah." When he brought him to Jesus, and now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Now I want you to think of the setting here. Here was John the Baptist. You know that John the Baptist, and he preached in the wilderness, but there was a people who kept coming to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was to declare the way of the Lord. He had like his own following. He had his own church. And Andrew was one of the people who was a part of John the Baptist's church. You could say Andrew was a Baptist because he followed John the Baptist. Well, Andrew followed him, and he looked at John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Andrew then had to make a shift. He had to make a decision right then. Was he going to stick with John the Baptist, or was he going to go and follow the one that they were after, follow the one that they were preaching about and talking about? And immediately the Bible says Andrew left John the Baptist and he went over with Jesus. You know, we have to be a people that are willing to leave the good in order to gain the better. You and I have to be a people that, to be able to recognize, we have to be reading the Word of God enough to be able to recognize that when something better comes, then we are to move on with that. When Jesus the Christ comes, we have to leave the old order, the old form of John the Baptist, and move into the new. Move along with Jesus. We know that Andrew went and found Peter and told Peter, "Peter, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Anointed One." And of course, we know the story. Then Jesus came and he met Peter, and Peter became one of his followers and one of the great apostles. But we must be willing to leave when God is moving, when God is shifting gears. We need to be able to shift with him. We need to be able to go with him whenever he says go. Andrew was one of these. He was willing to let go. He was willing to leave the blessing of John the Baptist and go with Jesus. He was able to leave the good for the better. The good is often in the way of God's best in our Christian experiences. The good often gets in the way of God's best. The good can often cause us to become content. Andrew said, I love John the Baptist. He could have said, I love his preaching. I love his teaching. I love the way he loves me. I love the way he cares about me. I want to stick with John the Baptist. I know Jesus, he's over there, but I love John the Baptist. Now, they hadn't seen a lot of Jesus until that point. But they had revelation that Jesus was the Messiah, so he had to make a decision. Now, I just want you to think about something for a moment. Andrew left and followed Jesus. It doesn't say anything about John the Baptist following Jesus. It doesn't. It seems like John the Baptist continued to do the same thing. What happens when you're not ready to leave the old order and step into the new? If you know the history of John the Baptist, he ended up getting his head cut off shortly after that. He didn't leave the old to enter the new. You see, the cost is far greater when you stick with the old and not enter into the new. The new is what the Lord is really wants us to go after today. The Lord wants us to experience the new wine that we have. There's some kids just went out there. Somebody make sure that there's adults with them. Don't leave the kids walking around in the foyer, please. So, Andrew left John the Baptist and went with Jesus. There are whole generations that are stuck in the blessing that somebody took into when they were preaching the kingdom of God, there was new revelation came, and there's whole generations still stuck back at that revelation. What do I mean by that? I mean that, well, John Wesley came and he began to preach and he began to teach and he began to talk about the holiness movement and call people to holiness and so forth. And he had a revelation of that at that particular time. But there are whole denominations that have came up out of his movement and never went any further. They got what he had to offer, but they refused to go any deeper and experience some of the things that God is releasing in this day. And this hour that we're living in today. You see, God is doing things. The Bible doesn't change. The Bible is the Word of God and it does not change. But the way things are done, God often shifts and changes. And one of the ways that if we were to do a study in the Word of God, we could see about how Jesus ministered healing. We don't see any pattern of the way he ministered healing. One time, he told somebody to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Another time, he spit in a man's eyes. Another time, he gave them instruction to go and show yourself to the high priest. Another time, people just reached out and touched him. There was no pattern there, but he was doing new things. So we have to be continually open to the way that God does things today. And I want you to know, he does things a little bit differently on an ongoing basis because he's God. He can do what he wants to do. Now, excuse me. Let's read a little bit more in Acts chapter 9 about baptism. Something that happened in baptism. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So they had only heard about John the Baptist's baptism, and they had only practiced that particular type of baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who come after him, that is on Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. This was water baptism. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. So it seems like once they got saved and they went through water baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to prophesy, and the gifts of the Spirit began to function and operate in them as they walked through these different ordinances of Christianity. Romans, I'm just going through some scriptures really quickly just to give us a context of what it means to go through the waters of baptism and the significance of that in the scriptures. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul teaching, he said, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. So going through the waters of baptism is like being buried with Christ, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when we're raised up out of the water, it's like experiencing resurrection, as Jesus experienced resurrection, into a newness of life. When we go under the water, we want that old man that had his way all this time. We want that thing to be drowned in the water. We'll hold him down long enough so he'll drown. And so that when we come up, we'll experience new life in Christ Jesus. We'll be a people who will be able to experience new life. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That is the church. We were all baptized. We all became one. Into the church, when we come to Christ, when the Spirit of God moves upon us, there's something happens that we become part of the church. Don't give up on the church. You know, the church is often demonstrated, or pardon me, a ship is often used as a type of the church. In other words, you know, when you're on board, you're in a big ship, you come and you're part of that ship, you're part of everything that's happening on that ship. Well, the church is like that. When we're calling out, when you get baptized, you're being baptized into Christ, baptized into his body, and so you are part of the church. You're part of the ship. Don't ever give up on the ship. You might go through some troubles, some difficult times on the ship. There's some things in the church, for instance, that you might have problems with. There's things that might happen to you within the church, but don't give up in the church. Don't give up in the ship. Even no matter what you're going through, hang on. How many of you have ever been on a ship and you wish that you were off that ship because of things that happened to you? I remember years ago that Charlie wanted a helper for one day, fishing crab. And I thought, well, I fished lobsters years ago for one season. I know what that's all about. I'll go out and fish because I'm good on the water. And we get up there early in the morning, and we got out, started to sail out of the harbor. And as we sailed out of the harbor early in the morning, the exhaust fumes of that diesel engine started coming around, and I got some whiff of it. I began to smell it, and just even then, something started working on the inside of me. And I spent a day from hell on that boat, and that man never had one bit of pity on me. I was so sick. All that day, we stayed out there, and we fished crab, and I was leaning out over the boat, letting it all go over and over again. I was so sick. I was wanting him to throw me overboard, anything. I was so sick. But I had to stay in the ship. I mean, that was the best, as difficult as it was to stay in the ship. That was my only hope, stay in the ship. I want you to know, when it comes to the church, there might have been some things, some tough things that you've been through, but stay in the ship. I had a dream recently about the church, and I dreamt that the church, there was a lot of people, and the church was bigger than this, but there was a lot of people coming, and there was nobody I knew. And they were all coming. Many, many people were coming, and there was none of our leaders and anybody there to help me kind of greet them and so forth. So I was talking to them and greeting them and just saying hi to them. And this couple met me, and they had a couple of small children, and they met me, and I shook their hand and said, "How you doing?" They said, "These are your children." And I went to say hi to them, and they weren't paying attention to me. And the man said, "Oh, well, you know, they're kind of shy in church because we've been hurt," and said, "We've been hurt in church." And in the dream, I said, "Well, welcome. We've all been hurt in the church. If you're part of anything that's worthwhile, there's a give and take in anything that happens. We've all been hurt to some degree, but we can't leave it just because we got hurt. We can't give up on the church just because we got hurt in the church. We have to stay on the ship. You know, you can look at other ships, you can look at other things that's happening around us, but we must stay in the ship. The ship of the church is the only one that's going to be docking on heaven's shores one day. The church is the only one, so it's so important. Don't jump ship when it comes to the church. And that's when we go through the waters of baptism, the church, it signifies that we are going through a binding or a bonding with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, part of the church is coming to the communion table. And as we observe the communion table this morning, you know, I believe it's a very holy time to come to the table. It's a time where we are coming and participating in the covenant meal. I want us to read the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we prepare ourselves to come to the communion table this morning. It's a powerful verse of scripture that the Apostle Paul gave to us. The Apostle Paul gave us the teaching, a lot of the teaching for the church when it comes to communion. We can look back at what Jesus did and the things he said about it and how he instituted and so forth. And it's very, very powerful. We must know, understand that. But the Apostle Paul was teaching this to the church and giving them some instruction when it comes to coming to the Lord's table. In the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Notice he was betrayed. He was betrayed by his own people, yet he didn't jump ship. "And when he was betrayed, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man, woman, child examine himself, and so let him eat and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner or carelessly eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or have gone to an early grave." These are the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives us. He says, let a man examine himself. Let a person examine themselves. See if there's anything that is between you and God. See if there's any sin that is between you and God that God wants you to repent of, that God wants you to let go, that God wants you to turn away from and go the other way. Let a person examine themselves to see if they are rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding the body of Christ. You know, there was a little boy who was an awesome carver. And he carved himself a little ship, a little boat, actually. He put sails on it. And when he put sails on it, the boat actually was able to sail along the river. And he took it down to the river one day, and he was sailing it. And that the wind shifted, and the tide changed, and the boat went out to sea. And he couldn't see it any longer. And he realized that he lost his boat. He walked home disappointed. He really treasured that boat. He had put a lot of love and care into it. And eventually, the tide shifted and the boat came back to shore. And a man walking along the beach one day found it. And he took that little ship and he said, "Wow, somebody put a lot of time into this. It's really well made." And he took it to a shop and sold it to a pawn shop. And the pawn shop recognized that it was really well done, and he thought, "I could get some money for that." So he put a price of about $400 on it, and he put it in the window. And the little boy who had carved it one day, he was walking by this pawn shop, and he seen the ship there. He seen it was his, and he knew it was his. But there was no way that he could prove that it was his to the owner. And so he went out and said, "The only way I can get that back is I'm going to have to buy it back." So he went to work. He took every job that he could possibly get in order to raise money in order to buy that little ship. So one day, he finally had enough, and he went into the pawn shop, and he laid the money down, and he took his ship back. And he went out that door, and when he did, he held that ship close to his chest, and he says, "Now I have bought you back. I have created you, and I have bought you back. Now you are truly mine." And that is an awesome description of the redemption story. God has created us. God the Father has created you and I. And we, through our experiences in life, we got caught in the enemy's territory. In Satan's trap, we became a slave in Satan's army. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down to earth from heaven and paid the highest price so that we could be bought back and become children of God again. What an awesome story, the redemption story. What an awesome, awesome description of what it means to be bought back into the arms of Jesus. Now, when we come to the communion table this morning, I want us to think about that. Are we in the place of the kingdom of God? Are we in the Father's arms this morning? Would you stand with me, please? I want us to pray a prayer. Maybe there's someplace, someone in here who has never prayed the prayer of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. I want to pray that prayer this morning with you. You know in your heart whether you're all right with God. Do you know if you were to die this day, before you got home this morning, do you know where you'd go? Are you assured of heaven? Or do you just think you're okay? No, you must be sure. It's too important to just let it go with a hope so. It must be a no so. So I want us to pray a prayer this morning, inviting Jesus into our heart. And if you have never prayed that prayer before, make it so real, declaring that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Now, if you have already prayed that, I want you to make it an affirmation, a confirmation of your a pledge to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is for everybody because it's so important for us to declare what we believe. Father, this morning right now, I just pray for each and every one in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to hearts this morning. God, that even as we examine ourselves before we come to the communion table, that you would make so real to us anything that you want us to deal with in the name of Jesus. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you don't let us run away, that you stop us, Father, that we would have to turn to you because of this important decision. Father, I pray for each one, God, that they would open their heart to Jesus right now, in Jesus' name. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I declare to you that I need a Savior. And I see Jesus as the Savior that I need. I desire to have my sins washed away, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, to stand before you as if I have never sinned. I thank you, God, for the name of Jesus that I call on today. Jesus, come into my life. Change me, Lord. Rule in me, that I might walk in obedience to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.